Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Beakless Mountaineer.
And me, Mark Edge.
Mark, since you're back.
Yes.
You wanted to talk about this. So I know nothing of how this originated. All I know is that my internet feeds seem to be, I don't want to say full, but busy with this, like, oh, she chose a bear over a man thing, whatever that is. I've just been seeing the memes. I'm like, oh, it must be something I missed out on. So I don't know much about it, but you wanted to talk about bear versus man.
Well, I trust my the good producers at the LRN chat. How do you get there? Chat.freetalklive.com?
Yes.
Yeah. So I trust them to go ahead and just check on this, but I believe the first instance was a video where a woman is videotaping her husband and asking him essentially a scenario, fake scenario. Would you like your future daughter? She's specific. He doesn't have a daughter, but I think maybe I got the impression she was pregnant. I don't know. Let's just go with that. So your future daughter to be stuck in the woods with a bear or a man. And that's the scenario as she puts it out there. And the guy's like, a bear's going to eat her. Okay. We've established that. Excellent. Well, what about the man, she says?
Well, no daughter of mine's getting eaten by a bear. That's why you arm your kids.
And so he starts, you know, bargaining and saying things like, well, does she... Well, the average person never thinks about a gun, right? They've been so thoroughly cowed and disarmed that they never think about a gun.
The woods, that's where the police aren't.
Right. Well, the police aren't. And there is no accountability. There's less accountability in the woods than there is elsewhere. And so the guy's like, you know, shocked at what could a man do to my future daughter? And I presume he's thinking of her as, you know, post-pubescent at that point. And he's like, oh, I don't like the idea.
That would be the other permanent reaction.
What's
having offspring is the other permanent thing that happens.
Yes.
You got death and the other thing.
Yes. Death and birth. Yes. Yep. So, and remember, guys don't like the idea that their daughters are going to have sex with people like them.
Yeah.
Right. And that presumably says nothing good about guys, and guys, you know, aspire to be somebody that you would want your family members to have sex with.
You first. Might want to rephrase that.
I can hear the fiddle.
I see you're back from Florida. The deep south.
The deep south. Indeed.
Sorry, not a fiddle, the banjo is what it is. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
And so basically, this is the conundrum that has been out there. And I went on Facebook sometime this week, and then it's just everywhere. And I can't stop a good meme, you know, like, oh, I'm
sure. Yeah.
And
it is everywhere.
On like, one hand, I will say this. A lot of women have a breathtakingly bad idea about how safe bears are.
Yeah.
Okay, so first thing,
yeah.
But they're so fuzzy.
Right, they are fuzzy. Just because you've seen a bear, and I don't believe half of them have, but that's fine. I have walked in the woods many dozens of times, perhaps the low hundreds of times, and I have never run across a bear. Not a black bear, not a grizzly bear, polar bear.
Wait, what about Porkfest on Rogers Campground?
There was one that was poking around in the garbage, but yeah, I didn't see it.
There's more than one. I saw two of them, actually, the first year that I attended in 2019.
And I've seen them, but I think what I got the impression of stuck in the woods, I was like, you know, you're within 20 feet. I don't know, some close margin to the bear. And that, look, yeah,
I'm pretty sure the whole thing falls apart if you're not close to either the man or the bear.
Sure. Yeah, you got to be close enough. But the bear is far more likely, and I think that at some point, you know, you ask, is the bear hungry? Yes, the bear's hungry, right? There's all kinds of people asking all kinds of questions about the scenario, and fine, the bear's hungry. A bear's far more likely to be dangerous than a man is to be. But the premise is that in the woods, the man is unaccountable, right? So he's going to disappear into the woods. There's nothing that you could do. He's more powerful than you are, and you know these kind of things. Oh, by the way, forget the insulting part that men are sexually assaulted every day in America.
Yeah, there's actually more men are raped every day than women.
It's a funny statistic, the one that you've just spit out.
Yeah.
It's a very old one.
I've seen
it repeated somewhat recently.
Okay.
Well, but those are prison men. They don't count as humans. Well, they don't have rights.
There aren't prisons in the woods. I'll give them that, right? Sure. There's few escaped convicts in the woods.
Yeah.
But it does include prisoners. That's the primary.
Certainly does.
Primary. So they say it's about 1 in 10 sexual assaults are against males in the U.S.
Outside of prison, right?
Yeah, sure. Outside of prison.
Yep.
A man is definitely more dangerous than a woman. However, women don't operate as single individuals most of the time. That's generally not what they're drawn to. They are social creatures in comparison with men.
Mm.
And women as a group, for example, well, they are the majority of the voters. So they do have, the full force of the largest, most powerful military force man has ever created at their disposal. So as a group, women are way more dangerous than men.
Now let's talk about humankind for a minute, right? Just so all of the genders or whatever the heck is passing for people these days, compared to bears, right?
There's two genders there too.
I'll take gender out of the bears just for a minute. Mankind, humans, are far more dangerous than bears.
Yes.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
In general.
If you're taking mankind.
Yes.
But if you had the choice of running towards a grizzly or towards a man, you would run towards the man.
I would,
and
yes.
You would also advise your imaginary daughter to do the same thing.
Yes.
Because that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Could it be an unaccountable man? Yep, it could. But men are A, the most dangerous creatures on the planet, and B, the most protective of humans.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's one of the funny things about this. Like, okay, so when you're dealing with a bear, it's really just a question of how hungry are they? That is how dangerous they are right now. When you're dealing with a man, most of us are like not only harmless, but actively protective.
Yes.
So if you are just going to randomly select one of the male gender on the planet, no, the probability is that you're going to get someone who is not only harmless, but a good thing to have around just in case in the midst of the woods you should run into a bear.
I used to, when I was at work and it was dark, I would offer to any of my female employees, hey, do you want me to walk you out? And some would accept and some wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just ask. And I have been told since on the internet by, internet harridans that I should never ask this because it reminds women of their helplessness against a man, how they're victims far more often. And, all these things, by the way, men
are victims
of violence more often than women are victims of violence. But whatever the case may be. And so, to me, I don't even know. But then again, I don't work in a situation where I would need to walk women out any longer. Haven't done that in a long time. But when I asked.
I've seen that in the corporate world where, somebody gets let go, that kind of a thing. And they just tell, as long as there's nothing like a theft involved or something like that,
sure.
It's just like a reduction in force. They let people go. They walk the women out. They don't walk the dudes out of the building, right?
Okay.
It's this weird, okay, I guess that's a thing.
Maybe they think women are more vindictive?
I don't know.
I don't know
if there's some HR purpose if there's a legal purpose for that.
Men walked out of buildings. I didn't work where you did, and I didn't have nearly as many coworkers as you have had just because of, the number of jobs and the different types of places you worked. I always worked in radio, and, we'd have... it's always small staff.
I've sat in call centers with hundreds of people. So, there's that. I've never really understood the reason. And I just noticed it. I thought it was odd. I'm like, huh, that's weird. Like, they walk the women up and not the dudes. I don't know, maybe it's the state law. I was in Washington State when I saw most of that. I don't know what makes that happen, but I've seen that done. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Now,
just to be And just to clarify, when I'm talking about walking women out, I'd ask if they want to be walked out. It was the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. So it was dark out. And, you know, hey, if you want a guy to walk you to your car, I'm here to do that.
Right. Yeah, no, I've frequently been asked for that.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Hey, I need to take...
Nobody's attacking anybody when you're next to them.
Right. You know? I've frequently been asked, hey, I'm taking the trash out to the dumpster. Do you mind walking with me? Of course not.
Right.
And it's like, oh, no, it's disempowering. No, it's human beings looking out for human beings.
This is David Ridley of Ridley Report calling. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, gentlemen.
How are you?
Well, oh, Mark's here too. Sorry. Oh, zing!
I have an NH exit idea, an epiphany sort of. I was listening to a broadcast discussing nuclear policy or something like that, mm-hmm. and it just popped into my head. Because we tried in 2022 and 2024 to put forward legislation to let the people vote on independence from the United States. In New Hampshire.
Yeah.
It occurred to me there's another way to do it. So I remembered what New Zealand did in the 1980s.
What did New Zealand do?
They did not try to secede from their alliance with the United States. Instead, they just imposed a rule on the U.S. government. The rule was, if you're going to bring a nuclear weapon into our harbor, you got to tell us it's there. And in fact, actually, you probably shouldn't bring that ship into the harbor. So if you want to bring a warship into our harbors, that's fine. But you're only allowed to bring in warships that don't have nuclear weapons on them. And that completely. And so the United States then went and seceded from New Zealand. Sort of.
You mean you want us to tell you which ones are nuclear? No.
Huh. Yeah. So you're saying that can somehow apply to New Hampshire?
So what could be done is a bill, again, a bill that, you know, the taxpayers should be reimbursed by us if we push this bill, but because it costs about $2,000 to hear a bill. But if there were a bill that said the United States government cannot bring any nuclear weapons or components of nuclear weapons into New Hampshire, that might have a similar effect, and it would also trigger a lot of new publicity because it's a new and different approach to the issue.
I wonder if we'd include something for them to take out any nuclear components that exist here, because who knows what they have at Space Force.
Now, you got to be careful with nuclear, right? So I think nuclear power is the safest and most ecological power that is out there.
Especially
however,
thorium.
The reason that they have nuclear power is so they can create these bombs. You know, they're inexorably linked. There exists meltdown-proof reactors, what they call thorium salt reactors. And I think, Peakless, you actually educated me on the topic. But, you know, there are thorium salt reactors, but they don't make nuclear. One of the side effects isn't making nuclear weapons.
Right.
And so they're not very interesting to the kind of people who make
want to put everyone in existence at risk.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that just forcing them to admit that the thing existed would probably be enough to dissuade the United States federal government from wanting to have anything to do with New Hampshire.
Wait. I want to back up for a second to something that Mr. Ridley said. He said that it costs about $2,000 to get a bill heard in New Hampshire. Is that right?
Yeah, the process of bringing the committees together, you know, the number of times that they have to be brought together in order to kill a bill is thought to be, I mean, as of 5 or 10 years ago, it's thought to be $2,000. It may be more now. I'm maybe the only person that does this, but I'd make a point of not requesting or bills or pushing for them unless the taxpayers are going to be reimbursed. And that's what happened with the NH exit bill in 2022. The reason I never asked a state rep to submit a bill was because I figured, well, I don't have the $2,000 lying around just waiting to be spent on something like that. If I can't reimburse them, I'm not going to request it. But what happened was I was talking about NH exit on Free Talk Live, and some of the hosts offered to reimburse any bill that I could get sponsored for a secession. So I did start asking around and requesting, you know, state reps to sponsor this thing.
That's awesome.
So Anyway, I guess I'm just repeating that process for a different, slightly different, well, I guess substantially different bill that might ultimately have the same effect.
Israel doesn't need the United States.
Right.
The United States lends credibility to Israel. And if you took the amount of money the United States gives to Israel, usually it's in weapons,
mm-hmm.
And then you count the amount of taxes paid by Jews in the United States, well, you know, those numbers are very similar. So you could say that, you know, that's the Jews in the United States are paying for weaponizing Israel, if that's what you want to do, to sort of look at it. But to me, I think that if the United States stopped sending weapons to Israel, it would just make whatever Israel did more their own responsibility.
Well, and money, too, right?
Yeah.
Money and weapons.
They don't need the money, though.
I know, but they send it.
Yeah, well, I think Israel sends money back, too, would be my guess.
Well, and if
APAC certainly spends plenty of money on advertising in the U.S.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and so there's the fact that they're funding them, the fact that they're arming them, and there's the fact that, for example, with the Iran strike, you saw very clearly, like, there's no effective distinction between the two militaries. The U.S. is absolutely happy to act as the military of Israel in at least some situations. So, like, there's just the straight-up American military power at the disposal of the nation of Israel. And all of these are, of course, going to make Israel much less accountable for its actions.
Indeed.
Well, and has the U.S. ever been accountable for its actions?
That's exactly the problem. It's spreading.
Yeah, and, well, what are governments but people ungoverned?
Right.
Right?
The most notably ungoverned of people.
Right. And so who watches those guys? Who enforces things between those guys? It must be anarchy.
Hmm.
Weird, huh?
No, they have a very sophisticated network of bribery and blackmail where they all sort of have checks and balances, and they all do the same thing lest anyone leak the thing that will destroy the career of the other.
Riddle me this. Oh, you know, almost a Batman, what do you call it, supervillain? Yeah, thank you. From the 1960s Batman series, right? Mm. Not the movies that have been made since then. But riddle me this. In international contracts, right? I'm a U.S. business, and I want to trade with somebody in, you know, I don't know, name a country, Spain, right? And we both sign a contract to, you know, they're going to buy some goods from me, I'm going to buy some goods from them, and, you know, we're going to make it even, you know, we'll figure out the shipping and all that stuff. Prices have been figured out, right? We have this contract, it's done. We both agree to the terms of the contract. Who enforces that?
The International Criminal Court, The Hague.
Okay. Or as I like to call, no one except for themselves, because generally speaking, in these international contracts between businesses,
you specify what happens if there's...
You specify arbitration.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And so,
that's true.
So there are systems already at work that do not involve necessarily the international... What did you say?
International Criminal Court.
International Criminal Court. It does not necessarily involve the federal government in the U.S. It does not involve Spain's government in this particular scenario. There are already mechanisms in place for contracts to be self-enforcing,
mm-hmm.
right? Without government intervention, i.e., what I'm trying to say, government's not necessary.
Well,
government, I'm not refuting what you're saying. Government is the only reason that they have these international organizations that function as super governments to solve the problem, because the corporations can always use arbitration to figure it out.
Right.
Who's at fault and who's not.
Well, so can individuals, for that matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, you know, that's all corporations are. It's just a group of individuals doing things together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to quibble over your use of the contract is self-enforcing. And only smart contracts are self-enforcing.
Well, okay. All right. What I mean by that is it's not necessary for any government to have a group of people who enforce these things, because
yeah, definitely
that you can write in what happens if there's a dispute, what happens if somebody stops paying or stops trading, you know, what happens if this agreement you've entered into goes south.
Yeah,
right. You can both figure that out before you even sign the damn thing, and then, you know, you just put those mechanisms into play when and if it does go in a way you didn't expect.
Yeah, I think a perfect proof of the ability to solve disputes and have a functioning market without the use of government is I don't know how many people have gotten pot that was not dusted with PCP, but it's pretty much the standard experience.
Yep.
And gee, why is that? Oh, because there are self-reinforcing norms in a market mm-hmm. where if you were doing terrible things to this, if you were defrauding your customers, you end up not having customers real quick.
If there's any listeners who have ever heard the podcast or show called Beard Talk Live, you know that I am not a fan of the FCC for many reasons, but the most of which is, of course, they certainly violate free speech. They tell
and
us
how.
They tell us what we can and cannot say on the airwaves, regardless of what listeners want, think, and that kind of a thing. And so I have jokingly taken to whenever I need to, I feel like I need to say the F word, drop an F bomb, I just substitute FCC.
Because FCC them.
Yeah. Because, you know, mother FCCers, right? That kind
yes.
of a thing.
Trying to tell me what I can and cannot FCCing say?
Right.
I yes. don't think so.
I don't give an FCC what they think.
Right.
Right?
This is an old morning show trick.
Yeah.
Ted
versus the FCC used to happen in the Seattle in the morning show all the time. They would have the audience write tongue twisters for Ted to say while the other guys, you know, like manned the buzzer and the dump button, right? And so he would try and say these elaborate tongue twisters really fast, right? 30 seconds to try and say it.
Yeah.
And he would either pass or fail. And then they would, you know, if he won, they'd give some, you know, amount of money to a charity or something like that.
Something good.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun to see. But I have this article from bleepingcomputer.com. The FCC, who violates you know, all sorts of things when it comes to people and speech and all that kind of stuff, they have fined carriers, in this case, $200 million for illegally sharing user locations. The FCC has fined the largest U.S. wireless carriers almost $200 million for sharing their customers' real-time location data without their consent.
Hmm.
Now,
oh my God,
there's a couple of things here.
I think I'm about to say something I didn't think I was going to say. I agree with the FCC on
well,
this.
Okay, but, and we'll get into it in a minute. The first
now, this
problem,
is probably not the way I'd like to get this done.
The first problem that I have here is the FCC is saying that these companies have violated their users' consent. Well, I posit that the FCC exists in violation of consent.
Okay.
True.
So
true.
There is a
pot calling the kettle black.
Who the FCC are they to tell us, you know, when consent is and isn't violated when they themselves are guilty of violating consent?
You're violating consent, and that's our job.
Right. The FCC's forfeiture orders finalize notices of apparent liability issued against AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon in February of 2020. The fines imposed on Monday include $12 million for Sprint and $80 million for T-Mobile. The two carriers have merged since the investigation began. More than $57 million for AT&T and an almost $47 million fine for Verizon. Now, you're like, wow, that's a lot of money, man. They really took it. No, it's not. For these companies in particular, this is drop in the bucket stuff. This is slap on the hand. This is there is no justice here. They're not it's a money grab for the FCC.
Honestly, the part of that sentence that was most important to me was, man, there are just so few carriers anymore.
Well, at least the big ones, right?
Yeah, they're trying to work those economies of scale, and one would hope that the little guys come in and can provide better service in some way.
Yeah, but the more regulated an industry is, the harder it is to compete.
Sure.
And man, communications is so regulated.
It couldn't be much more regulated, yeah.
Well, you say that, but like the things that they're doing to try and regulate cryptocurrency have this tendency to be applicable to like everything.
Yeah, there is spillover from all of that kind of action. An investigation, the article continues, was launched after reports that the largest American wireless carriers disclosed customers' location information to a Missouri sheriff through Securus location finding service, without consent or legal authorization. Couple things here. This information was accessed by another government entity. Weird. And Securus, for those of you who don't know, Securus, it says here, is the location finding service. Securus is the communications contractor for the federal prisons as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where I've heard that name.
Right. Go ahead with
your thing. Yeah, this is just what they do, right? Like, they just, when these big companies think that, you know, a government agency has contacted them, they just hand it over. They're not saying, hey, where's your warrant? They don't do that anymore.
Right.
It's just like, you know, the FBI says, hey, we'd like all of Mark Edge's pictures, emails, telephone, any telephone audio you have, telephone call records for the last, you know, 15 years.
Right. And they tell them, I am responsible for securing his papers with the absence of a warrant.
No, they don't.
I like the idea of common sense within law. How about this for attack? That somebody goes to be a prosecutor who wants to be a prosecutor, not who wants to be a judge. Mm. And then, you know, somebody who's a defense attorney is a defense attorney. And then there's actually a judge tack that we take the judges out of college. And rather than experience being a prosecutor or experience being a defense attorney, we just say, you know what? You're on night court, or you're on traffic court, or you're doing whatever until you promote yourself through, because I want a judge, in many cases, I want a judge who understands the law. Because in Ian's case, for instance, you had to understand that the state did not reach the burden of proof when it came to the conspiracy to commit money or the money laundering charge. That, you know, hey, literally, they didn't reach the burden of proof. And the judge said so. Now, in my opinion, they didn't reach the burden of proof on the conspiracy to commit money laundering or the tax evasion either, because they never even explained what tax evasion was to the jury.
Right.
Yeah. There's two levels on that one for me. Like, number one, they specifically said that it's entirely possible that he owes no taxes.
Yes.
That exact piece of data.
An IRS agent under oath said. When asked by Ian's defense attorney, so it's quite possible that Ian has no tax burden at all and owes no money.
Owes zero.
And
she said, that's correct.
That's correct. Yeah. And then he stopped asking questions. I mean, the jury that found him guilty of four counts of tax evasion after that is completely and wholly irresponsible.
Agreed.
But you know why they're irresponsible? Because they're not responsible.
Right.
Nobody's going to come back and drag these people off to spend one day in jail if they find him guilty of a charge that he wasn't guilty of. And that's proven by the fact that the judge actually pulled back one of the charges.
Yeah, if it were to have been a jury of his peers, there would have been radio people.
Yeah.
There would have been
Bitcoin people,
software developers.
How about technologists, just free staters? Like, we have an actual community. I have peers. I have a community of people who I am accountable to. And those are, A, the people who I am willing to stand in judgment of in the terms of a jury, and B, the people who I'm willing to have stand in judgment of me, and mostly for the exact reason that, hey, if you judge me so poorly that an example like that occurs, your community, my community, our community will socially punish you with ostracism, with backbiting, with all sorts of things because you did something wrong.
But they specifically filtered all of that out. If you were like, yeah, I got some Bitcoin. Sorry, you're not on the jury. Right. Oh, yeah, I'm in radio. Sorry, you're not on the jury. Oh, yeah, I'm a software dev. Sorry, you're not on the jury. Oh, I'm a skilled technician. I'm in tech support of some kind. Nope, you're not on the jury. They filtered all of that out specifically for Ian's case.
Yeah.
I always thought it was interesting that a jury of your peers can't know you. So this
How
is
are
so
they your
strange.
Peers, right? I don't mind them, like, maybe not, you know, having a direct relationship with you, but how about being in your industry, right? How about, you know, that this type of a thing, right? You know,
we do not allow jurors that know things.
It was, it was strange. I knew one of the people who was selected for the jury.
Yeah.
And he was asked, if he knew. And strangely, my name was left off the list, but my wife's was on the list. My ex-wife's was on the list.
Yeah.
And she, like he said, yep, I know her. And I was like, you know, what difference does it make that he knows her?
Yeah.
You know, the one chance that Ian had to have somebody actually in his community, you know, that geographically lived near him, yep, out he goes.
Yep. Yeah, so.
Jury of your peers is nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Ian went to the gifted school, and a jury of his peers would have IQs superior to two standard deviations.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
The thing about a right, if it is sometimes there, then it's not a right. Like, in the process of life, you have to make choices. And if you're making those choices with the assumption that you have these rights, then they have to be reliable. And if they are sometimes completely disregarded, then they may as well not be there.
Right. And that's the thing is if you don't have a clear path to obey the law, then, and which we don't, right? Because that's part of the whole jury system is we'll find you guilty if we feel like it.
Yeah.
If you don't have a clear path to follow the law, what it does is causes people to, act in a way where they're not as free to do a thing, right? Like, so you've got to be the advancements of civilization are made on the fringes, mm-hmm. right? By people who are disrupting given areas.
Right.
And the disruptors won't disrupt if they're getting thrown in prison for it.
Right.
So that's what's going on when you say, oh, well, the police will handle this. And police have to have something to do.
Yeah.
So they got to hunt down people like Ian who are selling Bitcoin, not harming anybody, but scammers and victims lie to him.
Yeah.
It's like going after the gun store dealer because a convenience store got robbed with a gun that was bought from him.
How many scammers did Ian Freeman become aware of and try to battle against?
Well,
two that I'm
consider
aware
that
of.
I don't know the government has ever caught a scammer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. The score of how many
two or three
how many Bitcoin romance scam scammers have been caught and by whom? The score is the U.S. federal government 0, Ian Freeman 2.
I'm not sure he caught any of them.
Well,
but he
discovered them.
Yeah, he didn't go down to Texas and get them.
And in one case, he actually got somebody's money back.
Yes.
Which, again, more than the federal government has ever done for any of these romance scammers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As far
by their own admission, by the way, they said as much in court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as the ability to indict a ham sandwich, as they say,
yes.
Like the reason that you have these absurdly high conviction rates by jury, I think that a lot of it has to do with two simple things. Number one, most people have not been accused of anything ever, except maybe parking the wrong way or speeding or something like that, in which case they actually did it. So their direct experience with this stuff is, hey, I don't break the law and I never get accused of things. Therefore, if you got accused of things, it must be because you broke the law.
I did an internet search and I think I came up with the number was like, I asked the question, what percentage of American adults have been convicted of a felony? And the answer was like 6.8%, 7%, it's mm-hmm. between 6% and 7%.
Right.
So you sort of extrapolate that out and round up, because wouldn't you,
mm-hmm.
Of those, the say 7%, were they mostly male or female?
Oh, male.
Like
Wildly
male. All right. So if you take that number then and double it, and I'd have to look up, like I didn't look this up before the show.
2017 says 8%.
8%. Thank you. 8% of Americans convicted of a felony. That means that you double that and then take a little bit off. You've got 15% of American males, adult American males, have been convicted of a felony. Now, I suspect if you lower the age group that the number goes up. So if you say, you know, American males between the ages of 18 and 55, you're probably up to, say, 20%. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating at this point. But the numbers keep going up. I mean, we're a significant minority at this point. Like, you know, I mean, 20% of the American population, well, 20% of American males aren't black. I mean, that's a smaller number than, I mean, we're becoming a very large minority. And at some point, something's going to shift. And I don't know what that is. I'm just curious about it.
Yeah. So the other reason I think that it is so easy to get these convictions is because people do not want to experience the cognitive dissonance of thinking anything except the government is good. Because if you imagine for a moment the possibility that the government is anything other than the virtuous, benevolent will of the people in action, while somewhat flawed and imperfect, it's the best we can do. If you even think for a moment that it's nothing like that, I mean, it causes plenty of people to break down.
They need you to use their illegitimate form of money because they have built this criminal enterprise known as the Empire. And I talk about the Empire of the United States of America very frequently here on Free Talk Live. But that is true. And what we're seeing now is evidence of empire. You go back and you think about, you know, World War II, and you're like, people always ask, how did the people not see that? Nazi, get it? How did the folks not see what was coming? How did they not see the evil?
If you lived through COVID and you're still asking that question, I don't know what's closing your eyes.
Well, right. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, people have been dumbed down so much that we're seeing signs of people just accepting whatever the government shoves down their throat via television and news, right? And sometimes movies and sports, too.
I think they always have,
too.
Oh, I think that it's completely the opposite. Like, they hit their peak in probably the 90s, 2000s as far as control of information goes.
Yeah.
And we have since then seen the utter decimation of all of the numbers of every corporate media organization. Like, no one's watching those news channels anymore. Everyone is going to their own sources to find their own information.
Good.
Which is a disaster from the force-based control structures perspective.
I see that around here in our community, right?
Oh,
and by that I mean the freedom community, but I do not see that outside of that.
If
you just go hang out around the townies or whatever, they are literally regurgitating whatever MSNBC, NBC, Fox, CNN are telling them to regurgitate.
Not to the extent that it used to be. So if you look
I think it's worse, actually.
Okay, so if you look, for example, the trust in institutions, record lows.
Record lows, yeah.
If you look at just the straight-up numbers that are absorbing CNN and Fox News and MSNBS, all of this.
Nice.
If you just look at the raw numbers that are looking at these things, it's in the toilet. Now look at the raw numbers that are going to comedians who are now journalists, for example, and it's astonishing the sway that has, especially the ones that are just kind of, I don't know what's going on. Things are crazy, but I'm willing to ask different sources from different arguments what the heck they think is going on.
I want to back up for a minute because, Mark, you had asked some questions. I found, at least as of 2015, from BrennanCenter.org. That's the Brennan Center for Justice. Just facts, as many Americans have criminal records as college diplomas.
Wow.
This is as of November 17th, 2015, including misdemeanors.
Misdemeanors are rare. They're
isn't that speeding?
No, that's a traffic violation.
Traffic violation.
So it's a violation level. So there's three levels.
Ah, okay.
Felony, misdemeanor, and then violation level.
Gotcha.
So, you know, they're excluding presumably that. But I mean, I honestly, the cops don't go after misdemeanors. They don't do any investigation for misdemeanors. If they happen to across a misdemeanor, sure. But by and large, no.
This article is from 2015. So, you know, I'm sure numbers have changed since then. But the number of Americans with a criminal history has risen sharply over the past three decades. Today, nearly one-third of the adult working-age population has a criminal record. In fact, wow, so many Americans have criminal records that counting them all is nearly impossible.
Yeah. Hmm.
Just like counting all the laws that exist.
And yet laws it and is still so incredibly easy to get a conviction from a jury.
Well, I think that you've said it in part, is that, I spent 8 years in prison, and I met very few people. Now, I'm a pretty harsh judge of this. I'm very, very few people that I would have called innocent.
Mm.
Now, and most of them would be sex offenders, right? Like, you know, the problem with a sex offense, it's certainly, you know, awful, but the problem is that you make the accusation, it's hard to shake.
You mentioned Roger Ver there,
yes.
And along with him and the two creators of the Samurai Wallet that are being, in my opinion, completely unjustly targeted, I think a big reason that they're doing this is they realize that they can't actually stop us. They can barely slow any of this transition down. So I think what they're trying to do is to get people who are a loud voice, who are proclaiming from the mountaintops,
yep,
to shut up. And to self-censor, yeah, to get everyone to get that chilling effect of, oh, geez, I don't want to end up like Bitcoin Jesus. I don't want to end up like those Samurai Wallet guys. Yep. I better keep my head down, keep my mouth shut. I better not spread the good word. Otherwise, they'll come after me, too.
Well, it seems like there's an acceptable amount of things that you can say. And some of that acceptable stuff is supporting Bitcoin itself, right? Like, you can support Bitcoin, but it seems like the people that they're target always are allow people to get into other cryptocurrencies too.
Well, I think part of it is if you are pushing self-custody, okay, you are their enemy, even of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you've got people like Fink.
But don't you think that self-custody and Bitcoin's almost dead at this point?
Not even
and
remotely.
One of the problems with self-custody when it comes to Bitcoin is that they can white label and black label Bitcoin very easily. What I mean by that is to say that a Bitcoin, any given Satoshi, is a good Satoshi or a bad Satoshi. Whereas, say, with Monero, you could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Monero is highly fungible, even more fungible than the Bitcoin. And so you can say that, you know, if you know that Pablo Escobar has a given Bitcoin, you can black label that Bitcoin and say, you can't, nobody can accept this Bitcoin because this is Pablo Escobar's Bitcoin. And therefore,
you can try.
I don't know what the number of Bitcoins that are self-custodied at this point or not white labeled in some way, but it's getting to be fewer and fewer all the time.
I've seen evidence of any Bitcoin being black labeled. Or blacklisted, if that's a better term. I've seen no evidence of government actually doing that.
Yeah. I don't know that they have done that, but they certainly, Coinbase certainly says these people have turned Bitcoin into U.S. dollars, and here's the Bitcoins, and here's the transaction, and given it to the United States government. And I would further say that at this point with AI, imagine this, because here's where I think they are in this whole process. Mm-hmm. In this point in the process, they're deciding who has which Bitcoins. So if I have, say, 100 Bitcoins, mm-hmm, and I send from that wallet with 100 Bitcoins on it, I send a portion of that, say, one Bitcoin to buy, I don't know, a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I register that car in my name. They can then link that Bitcoin, mm-hmm, to Mark Edge and then link the whole 100 Bitcoin to me also.
Right.
Unless I have put them all in separate wallets or something like that. But then they can say, okay, and then the you know, these coins came from, and then those, you know, if I had had 1,000 previously, they can track the other 900 coins and they can say they went to these people, mm, they know Mark.
They
and,
can,
you know,
they can only somewhat track them.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I say that because there is technology out there that, yep, will prevent them from tracking.
So you're talking like mixing pools and stuff.
I'm talking about those kinds of things. There's also some exchange services out there that you can move your Bitcoin to them, and then they will send you back whatever your agreed amount other cryptocurrency is without any link between the two wallets.
Right. Okay. So, like, the problem is that you would have to have universal application. And, for example, China does not want to enforce American rules, and America does not want to enforce Chinese rules, what with them being rivals and all. So it's really hard to get any particular wallet that they can all agree, okay, well, this is Pablo Escobar, you can't do that anyplace. And even if you can, okay, let's say that I end up working with someone who got their Bitcoin from this Pablo Escobar wallet. Okay, well, let's say I absolutely need to turn that back into dirty fiat. Okay, well, what I can do, I can turn that Bitcoin into either a different Bitcoin or a completely different cryptocurrency. I can get paid in, say, Dash or Monero or what have you, well, and then use that, turn that into dollars. So, like,
is that at some point they will find a guy, right, that is so evil that Coinbase has to ban doing business with him. And once they control, say, Coinbase, then they control Kraken. And I think we all agree that these are controlled, situations.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to use the Chinese exchange. I can't read it. And I'm only going to do the American exchange, and I don't trust them.
Ricky in the Commonwealth. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Captain, Brother Mark. Pequot's Mountaineer, good evening.
Evening.
Well... You know, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this stuff now. You got these young kids, right, with these protests coming out of the colleges. Now, it started in Columbia, and it started to spread since the beginning of the week.
And they all got the same tent. All these protesters have the exact same model and brand of tent.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have the same tent.
You forget I'm blind, Captain.
You're right.
I thought maybe you'd heard, though.
No, I didn't hear that, but I'll tell you what I did hear. Along comes Wednesday as it starts to spread. Wednesday. Now, as a Jeffersonian, I like to think that I understand a few things about civil rights, you know, written and unwritten. Here comes Friday. Along comes Uncle Joe, and he comes out with this one. This is the first thing I hear out of this guy's mouth. Get this. He doesn't condone the violence. Well, I don't either. Well, that's where these kids screwed up. Okay, they did, but they're dumb kids. But here's the thing. He comes out with this right after. He personally doesn't condone anti-Semitic speech. Now, Joe, you're president of the United States. It doesn't matter what you personally think. Okay, let me explain to you how this works in case anybody's listening.
I'm sorry, what?
You have the... anybody. Maybe
I know. Go ahead. I was being a jokester.
Okay. Maybe some people tell Joe and enlighten him with this. It doesn't personally matter what he thinks. Here's what it is. As long as you... Now, they screwed up, okay? But as long as you don't have... This is what I have a problem with, said. As long as you don't have associated crimes with it, okay... You can have anti-Semitic speech. You can hate anybody you damn well want. And what I find even more fascinating...
Can you go on a college campus and follow around Jewish students yelling at them about how they're responsible for the genocide of, you know, babies and all this nonsense? You both pay to be there. And presumably the college says that one of the rules is you're not allowed to walk after students and scream at them, even if you feel like you have a very good reason.
Well, I think it's a more complicated argument than that, because they did have violence involved. But let's take that away from there. The problem was, he says he personally doesn't condone anti-Semitic speech. This is a quote I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
And here's the problem with this. It does, like, example. What Ricky from the Commonwealth thinks is completely immaterial, totally unimportant, doesn't even matter this discussion, because what I find fascinating...
And thank you for your call.
wait a minute.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Out there. Hold on, you're being a real joker tonight, Captain. Now, there are people, I see them. Now, these are not elected officials, but they're just people. I see them on the news. Now, they hate these people that are saying these things. They hate them. And they say, we got to stop it. But yet, those people don't have the right to hate other people with what they're saying. You know? And
no.
The thing is, know what?
I didn't understand. You say, you asked me if I know what you're saying, and I didn't know.
No, I mean, I said, you know, that's what it is. You have the right to hate people.
Yes,
I mean,
yep.
That's what free speech is all about. But they
do
screw up. And why did they screw up? Here's the answer. They, in these college kids, they are the product of social engineering. And where do you think that social engineering's coming from?
Public schooling.
And I'd like to know who told Joe to make said statement, where he personally
handlers.
Doesn't seem to be able to have an opinion of his own outside of the presidency. He personally thinks this. So I'm supposed to believe that Joe Biden, the president, and Joe Biden, the person, are two separate entities?
Well, the White House does frequently undermine what he says.
I think that because cryptocurrency is a free market,
mm-hmm.
right, and a competitive one at that,
mm-hmm.
that it is only a matter of time until all of the currently existing cryptocurrencies, or most of them at least, homogenize in a feature set. Right. That is to say, currently, things like Monero and Pirate and, you know, there's privacy coins, right? They have a niche there. Oh, we're going to develop privacy coins. And then there's spendable coins, Dash, even Litecoin to some extent, BCH, right? These are the coins that focus
right now,
on being spendable. All I'm saying is that it's only a matter of time until all of these feature sets get homogenized and all cryptocurrencies have adopted things like privacy coin features, things like spendability features. It's only a matter of time. So, yes, the government is going to continue cracking down on the big boy. That's BTC. Meanwhile, all the other coins are going to continue being developed with all these other feature sets that can and absolutely will be adopted by all of the other coins at some point, particularly the point where it becomes necessary for them to do so because of government oppression.
But Bitcoin hasn't adopted anything
yet
from any of the other coins. It seems like
that's literally what you get for, like, that is what it offers. It offers the highest security and the highest simplicity, more or less. Like, there's an argument that SV is like maybe a little bit simpler, but I mean, it's,
but it doesn't have the
high,
but doesn't
point.
Have the comparative advantage against the 51 attack.
Right, exactly. 51%. The lack of hash rate security means that it's not a real competitor. So I mean, weirdly enough, It's a feature, not a bug, that it has no features.
Well,
my
biggest
is
concern
like,
is earlier this week, last week, was it that Bitcoin transactions were $100 a piece?
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, there, you know, to me, there's no privacy. To me, what I'm looking to do, I'm looking to divest myself of Bitcoin as it continues to crawl up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold some.
Yeah.
Because it could be that the Bitcoin Citadel situation comes around. And, you know, if you have one Bitcoin, you'll be able to enter the Citadel, right? Whereas the rest of them are out there clawing, wishing that they had money. I don't know what the scenario is. But
yeah.
I feel like it's one of these other coins. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a central bank digital currency coin. But I feel like it's something else.
I think there's going to – so I completely disagree with you about the homogenization. I think that there's the trade-offs. Like, the reason
when I say homogenization, I just mean that, like, there's going to be some core features that most of the cryptocurrencies are going to consider necessary, right?
I don't know, man. I mean,
things like privacy, for example, and spendability. These are the two biggest things that people harp on.
No one's going to care about privacy until it becomes a major currency, honestly, is what I think. And the thing is, there's trade-offs with all of this stuff. So, like, the fact that you can't audit Monero is absolutely necessary for its privacy feature. So,
sure.
Like, that is a straight-up trade-off. The security level of any given coin is in competition with the fact that it's, like, whether it is or isn't Turing complete system. So like whether or not you can basically turn it into a computer program will interfere with its ability to function as money, because it shuts down a lot of the security features and opens it to attack. So I think there's
kind
of
like
that.
It's kind of like when the first GM and Ford, right, the two big car manufacturers, right, when power steering was invented, right, only one of them had it, and then suddenly the other one developed it and implemented it into their own product. It's the same thing's going to happen, right? Cryptocurrency is going to reach a point where it is going to be necessary for the survival of each of these coins to adopt more features.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.